Welcome to The Rundown, your source for the latest news and updates from the Kansas Legislative Division of Post Audit, featuring LPA staff talking about recently released audit reports and discussing their main findings, key takeaways, and why it matters. I'm Andy Brienzo. In May 2021, LPA released a performance audit examining distributions of revenue from Kansas healthcare provider tax under the Healthcare Access Improvement Program. I'm with Heidi Zimmerman, Principal Auditor at Legislative Post Audit, who supervised this audit. Welcome back to The Rundown, Heidi.
Thanks for having me, Andy.
First, why don't you give me an overview of how Medicaid works in Kansas and where the Healthcare Access Improvement Program, or HCAP, fits into this picture?
Sure. So Medicaid helps cover medical costs for certain low-income individuals. And the state and the federal government kind of share the costs of that program. So in Kansas, though, we mostly use a managed care model of Medicaid called CanCare. And under CanCare, the state pays a set amount for each Medicaid beneficiary each month to the state's three managed care organizations, which we also call them MCOs. And the MCOs then reimburse providers directly for the services that they provide. And so the purpose, though, of the Healthcare Access Improvement Program, or HCAP, is to increase the number of providers willing to serve Medicaid beneficiaries by increasing the reimbursements that they are paid.
So where do these HCAP revenues come from, and how are they used?
So under state law, HCAP requires most Kansas hospitals to pay an annual tax that's based on their operating revenue. So currently, hospitals pay 1.83% of the inpatient net revenue that it earned back in 2010. So KDHE then combines those tax revenues with federal matching funds to increase reimbursement rates to healthcare providers. But the increase comes through something called an add-on percentage. So a provider's total reimbursement rate includes a standard rate for providing the service plus that add-on percentage. So for example, if a standard rate to provide a certain service is $100 and the add-on percentage is 23%, then the provider would be reimbursed $123. So HCAP revenues are used to fund that add-on percentage.
To answer question one, the team reviewed the top 20 non-hospital procedures that accounted for the most reimbursements. What did you find?
So health providers use a procedure code to report what service they provided to a Medicaid beneficiary. So we used 2019 data from KDHE that showed how much Medicaid reimbursed non-hospital providers by each procedure code. So non-hospital providers are providers like doctors and surgeons and dentists. And we only looked at non-hospital providers in this audit because that was the focus of the audit. But what we found was that in 2019, the Medicaid program paid a total of $159.4 million across the almost 900 procedure codes that were paid to non-hospital providers. So the top 20 out of that 900, though, accounted for 74% of the total payments. So many of those procedures, though, that were in that top 20 were for routine things like doctor's office visits or physical therapy or vaccinations.
So an aspect of question one was also to look at the add-on percentages for those services that generate the most in Medicaid payments. What did you find with those?
So those percentages ranged quite a bit across those top 20 codes. So for example, the lowest add-on was only about 4%, and that was for delivering a baby. Conversely, the largest add-on was almost 111%, and that was for a regular doctor's visit to an ophthalmologist. So there was quite a large amount of variation across the 20. I should note here, though, that the intent was for the add-on percentages to average 25.8% across all the procedures. We estimated, though, that it's actually about 49%. That's likely because the services with the larger add-on rates were used a lot more than originally predicted.
So for question two, the team evaluated a couple of statutory requirements related to HCAP's administration. What are these requirements, and is HCAP meeting them?
So question two had us look at whether KDHE monitored HCAP adequately. And state law has two very specific requirements for HCAP, and we look to see if the department was monitoring for compliance with those things. And so the two things that state law requires, first is that HCAP revenues. So HCAP revenues are the money from the hospital tax and the associated federal matching funds. And statute requires that those revenues be distributed in a specific way. So not less than 80% of them need to go to hospital providers, and not more than 20% need to go to non-hospital providers. Secondly, HCAP is intended to be state general fund neutral. So basically, the expectation is that HCAP does not use any state general funds, and it's basically self-sufficient. Statute does require that, but that piece has not actually gone into effect quite yet. And so right now, what is in effect is that there is an expectation that it be state general fund neutral, but it is not yet legally required. So the HCAP program does not meet either one of these requirements. So first, non-hospital providers, like I said, should not receive more than 20% of the HCAP distributions, but we found that they receive between 26% and 32%, depending on how it's calculated. Additionally, even though legislative intent is for HCAP to be SGF neutral, we estimated that HCAP spent about $12 million of state general fund money in fiscal year 2020.
Now, the report noted that the state's managed care system, which you've mentioned a couple times before, makes it difficult for KDHE to monitor HCAP. Why is that the case?
So as I mentioned before, under CanCare, the state does not directly pay providers. So instead, the state pays the MCOs, and the MCOs pay the providers. So under CanCare, tracking those HCAP expenditures is really based on an estimate of what portion of the MCO payments are attributable to HCAP. And so this makes it more difficult to precisely track those HCAP expenditures. Additionally, the process is really only backwards looking. It doesn't have a real mechanism for a real-time look. And so really the department only knows if the program is complying with state law kind of after the fact.
How would HCAP need to change to ensure better compliance?
So we've talked about two issues here. One is the distribution issue, and the other is the state general fund neutrality. To ensure that the distribution complies with state law, first, HCAP distributions to non-hospital providers would likely need to be reduced. We estimated that potentially by as much as 30% to get to that 80-20 split. Then those rates should be reviewed periodically to make sure they continue to comply over time. And this is important because how services are used can change over time. So just because rates are set for a particular outcome at one point does not guarantee that they will continue to kind of behave in exactly that way for the long term. And so reviewing those rates on a pretty regular basis is important. To address the SGF neutrality issue, to really become SGF neutral, the state really has two options. So first, they can increase revenues to the program, or they can decrease the program's expenditures. And so far, though, the state has been unable to take either of those actions. So in 2020, the legislature increased the hospital tax rate to increase revenues, but that change has not yet taken effect. Statute tied that increase to the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services approving certain changes to the program. And so the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services is the federal agency that oversees Medicaid programs at the state level. So far, CMS has denied approval for those changes. So as a result, the increased tax rate has not taken effect, which means the program has not yet been able to increase its revenues. The second side of that was looking at expenditures. So in terms of decreasing expenditures, that would largely occur by reducing reimbursement rates. KDHE has not attempted to reduce rates, and some of the people we talked to told us that reducing reimbursements would potentially be detrimental to Medicaid. In this audit, though, we did not really assess the likely outcomes of reducing rates on how many providers might continue to participate in the program.
Finally, what's the main takeaway of this audit?
Medicaid is complex, and those complexities have made it increasingly difficult for KDHE to really monitor and track the expenditures of this program. Further, the problems that we identified, KDHE was aware that they existed, but they really lack the ability to independently fix those problems. So if HCAP is going to consistently comply with state law, both in terms of the distributions and that state general fund neutrality, it's going to need some changes. And not only are those changes kind of needed now, but they're probably going to be needed on a consistent basis in the future as well.
Heidi Zimmerman is a principal auditor at Legislative Post Audit. She supervised an audit examining Kansas Healthcare Access Improvement Program. Thank you again for joining me today, Heidi.
Thanks for having me, Andy.
Thank you for listening to The Rundown. To receive newly released podcasts, subscribe to us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. For more information about Legislative Post Audit and to read our audit reports, visit kslpa.org, follow us on Twitter at @KSAudit, or visit our Facebook page.